a lot harder to get out of than most people may think.
Maria is a victim of trafficking in Western New York. That's not her real name, and the International Institute put her in touch with us to anonymously share parts of her story.
The person that is using you or like has a way to keep you trapped emotionally, physically, mentally, that it's almost like you feel like you don't have a choice but to stay in it, even if you feel horribly wrong about it.
She said substance abuse is one way a person will take control, but the trafficker is also able to exploit other weaknesses.
Yeah, I felt like I couldn't leave because, like, that person made me feel like without them I was nothing, or I couldn't provide the things that they provided for me for myself.
International Institute's Survivor Support Services Director Amy Fleischauer says human trafficking can happen in urban and agricultural settings as well as in the tourist industry.
We have seen survivors escape and been recovered from farms, from convenience stores, from ice cream parlors, construction sites, online forced sex work, street forced sex work, from hair braiding establishments, really motels and hotels, restaurants. So any low-wage industry that you can really think of, we've seen survivors identified in those industries. The youngest survivor we've worked with has been 9 years old. The oldest has been 83.
Trafficking affects all demographics. 69% were male clients. 31% were female. 83% were victims of labor trafficking. Nearly 50% of victims had legal status in the United States when trafficked. Most are controlled through debt and fear, said Fleischauer.
Out of the 1,200 cases that we've worked on, I can probably count on one hand the number of cases that involve someone being physically locked somewhere.
Buffalo City Court Judge Amy C. Martocci oversees the Human Trafficking Intervention Court. She described human trafficking.
Through force, fraud, or coercion, engaging in work for someone else's benefit. Basically, someone else is keeping the profits of your labor.
She said there's a fundamental misconception about human trafficking, especially sex trafficking. Most believe that it involves foreign-born victims.
What we see in Buffalo, 96% of the people who've been through our court, so far we've had 225 defendants come through our court, 95 or 96% of those are born right here in the United States. And most of those people, most of those women, are from Western New York.
Martocci works with court resource coordinator Alicia Tabliago, who has a background in sex trauma.
They may not always come forward and say that they're actually the victim of sex trafficking or human trafficking, but they're a lot of times willing to talk about what's going on in their life that is affecting them.
Martocci said opiates and addiction are a major component of control.
The opiate crisis has really also played out in this field. When the court started in 2013, 45% of those women were opiate addicted. As of last year, the figure is closer to 70%.
Fleischauer has been working with Maria and the approximately 1,200 other men and women in Western New York who are victims of human trafficking since the interagency program was founded in 2006. Fleischauer said it still remains a very hidden crime.
They hope those that are listening today really focus on the elements of the crime and not what they think a trafficking survivor looks like.
And for Maria, trafficking was a job she couldn't get out of. But she said emotionally,
walking on eggshells. They tell you what to do, how to do it, when to do it, what not to do, what everything.
If you suspect human trafficking, you can find more information online at the International Institute Victim Support Services or the National Polaris Project, or by calling the 24-hour human trafficking tip line at 1-888-373-7888. For WBFO, I'm Nancy Fisher.